Hi, my name is Sydney Mitchell.
Hi, I'm Matthew Brickman, Florida Supreme Court mediator. Welcome to the Mediate This podcast, where we discuss everything mediation and conflict resolution. I am joined here today with Rebecca Palmer. Rebecca, welcome back to the show podcast. You were here actually. You were actually here 1 year ago tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I went back and I was looking at the emails and stuff. So, yeah, it was a year ago that you were on.
Interesting.
We had a great discussion about our careers, background, your band. But for the listeners that have not heard that episode or aren't familiar with your work, tell everybody a little bit about your firm, area of focus.
You bet. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Rebecca L. Palmer. This is what I do. I've been doing divorce law for about 30 years now. It's a strange calling, but it's one of my callings. And I'm a mom, a daughter, a sister. I really thrive in what I do. I work for a large law firm for about 20 years. I was an equity partner there, and then I finally had the cojones, can I say that on air, to start my own firm, and so I did, and now I have my own firm. I've had my neighbors, my gym buddies as clients. I've had Elon Woods and people who live in London and around the world as my clients, so quite a variety.
Yeah, and you're in Orlando, correct?
I am. I'm in Orlando, Florida, right downtown. Anybody who knows Orlando, we call it the Copper Whopper. It's this building that's like copper in color.
Okay.
It's been around forever. So I'm in the Copper Whopper downtown by Lake Eola.
Oh, that's funny. So in West Palm Beach, they've had a solid black building. I'm going back all the way to when I was a kid and would come here and visit my grandparents. It's a solid black building. It was called the Darth Vader Building.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and so, yeah, and my...
I think my name is happier than that one.
Yeah, Copper Whopper, Copper Darth Whopper. Vader Building. It's, yeah, so that's interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting because downtown has changed so much. It makes me, a lot of downtown cities now make me sad, and that the homeless population is so large.
Right.
You want to help. I mean, the way you can, but it's real.
Yeah. So how long have you been, you said you were an equity partner, then you started your own firm. How long have you been, had your own firm?
Good question. So probably 20 and 30, so 20 years.
Okay.
A big firm, and then going on 10 on mine.
Okay. And how many people are you working with? How many are working for you?
Like, what staff-wise? One of the most beautiful things about working in a large law firm is I created the team. They didn't do family law. And so I was able to really feel out how many lawyers I needed and paralegals I needed and assistants I needed. And the recession hit while I was an equity partner there. And so then a lot of real estate lawyers needed some work. So I grew exponentially during that time frame. I don't want to be big. I like being small. I like about three lawyers, paralegal and legal assistant. That's my sweet spot.
Yeah. And so you said, your diverse clients can be anywhere from a neighbor all the way to somebody across the pond. It's easy to find you when you're a neighbor, but how do they find you with a firm, across the pond, around the world? How are they?
I think because of my history, I've had people call me and they're like, oh, you did this case. We would like to interview you.
Okay.
So across the pond calls for those reasons, because they heard I did a case that was renowned.
Yeah.
And then my neighbors and my friends, often a mistake. I represented more neighbors than I ever should have.
Right.
But normally when I offer to help a neighbor, I think it's going to settle amicably. And then sometimes I'm surprised it doesn't.
Right.
So then I'm oopsie doopsie.
Right. So So you and I, we actually just came back from the annual Marital Family Law Review course in Orlando.
This is great.
I was up in your neck of the woods. While I was there, I spoke with a number of attorneys, and it was interesting. They said either they're busier than busy, or it was interesting. A lot of them said, I'm as busy as I want to be. Nobody, though, said, yeah, I'm sitting around twiddling my thumbs. I wish I had some work. So
were they all telling the truth?
Yeah, I think they were. I mean, they were all honest, and we were, you know, talking about different cases and stuff. So I've read, I've seen it online, and I've heard it in the air just recently. So I'm interested to find out. But January is often referred to as a divorce month. Why? I mean, are there trends that you've seen for that? Let's start with that question. Then I've got a follow-up question after that. So, I mean, yeah. So divorce month, why divorce month? What have you seen?
So Matt, it's interesting because when I was a young lawyer, we had more access to the court. If you had an emergency, you could go to a hearing.
Yeah.
So during Thanksgiving, Christmas, I had no holidays. I was running to court, 30 years ago. And now that doesn't happen. If you have an emergency, you don't get to court the next week unless you're on fire. And so what's happened is people have realized that, I think, and understand, okay, nothing's going to happen during November or December like it used to. And so now it is, all right, I'm going to get past the holidays, which I get. I mean, divorce is hard any way you look at it. And I'm going to get past Thanksgiving. I'm going to get past Christmas, New Year, new me, and then the phones start ringing. People are ready to have a new beginning. And something I've always wanted to do, I haven't, Matt, but I really want to, is I want to have a Valentine's Day party at my office where people who've gone through a divorce can come together and hang out.
Right.
So I'm going to make that happen.
That's interesting.
Eventually. But because I think that's the same thing. Because so you go through Thanksgiving, then you go through Christmas, then you go through New Year's, and then all of a sudden it's Valentine's Day, And it's a lot, none of us like those big hurdles. And part of my job and what we do is to get people through those.
Right. So what's interesting, so for me, it's as a mediator, maybe it's a little bit different for you because, like, when people come in to you, you are usually, let me put it this way. I am usually a number of months out or so after they engage you. And so for me as a mediator, January, and this is why I thought this was fascinating, divorce month, because looking at my entire year and how many mediations I conduct and stuff, January is my lightest month of mediation. So maybe they're they're coming and hiring you, getting the ball rolling, because come March, April, and May, it's really busy. Now, here's what's interesting. And
that's right.
Yeah. And so I just pulled up my statistics for last year because, we're February now, 2024. So looking at last year, and I can go back for each of the years, but in the last quarter, so last year I did 238 mediations. In the last quarter, Rebecca, I did 81. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I did 45. So for me, I see people, and this is what I hear from people generally.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. This is interesting.
Yeah, so maybe from a lawyer part, like you're busy like first of the year. For me, what I hear is a lot of times people are like, okay, Thanksgiving's here. I'm going to give it my all to make this marriage work. And they get together with family. Now, even in the best of marriages, things can go wrong at Thanksgiving. You can say something, do something, show up late, burn a dish, talk politics, religion. Something goes on, right? Bring somebody that then nobody else wants. There, something happens. And so then it's like, that's it. I'm getting divorced before the new year. No, you're not. But they're like, well, let's get into mediation. I mean, my last mediation of the year was December 30th. It was a Saturday, December 30th, going, we need to get this done before the beginning of the year. And I'm like, well, you're not going to get divorced. They said, but we want to get finality. Yes, they're not going to get in front of a judge for their final hearing before the end of the year, but they want to get closure. They want to get all their paperwork done, negotiations, things signed.
That's
so for me, it's different than so when I saw this, I'm going, divorce month for me, and like the first 2 weeks of January, I'm like, you know, I'm going, okay, good. Now for me, I'm going, I get a breather. Like, great. Now come mid-January, it just picked up and I am solid. And there's like even tomorrow's Sunday. I'm working tomorrow. Because I don't have any openings during the week.
Matthew, I'm literally trying to wrap my arms around this.
Yeah.
Because it's very different as a litigator.
But I think they're engaging you first, and then by the time they get to me, then we're busy for mediation. I don't know.
That's interesting. I think, we'll think about New Year's resolutions.
Right.
New beginnings in life, what you want, you know. And if you're in an unhappy marriage, and I'm so sorry for everyone who's hearing this, who has been or is in one of those situations, you know, I tell my kids, quite frankly, the biggest decision you make is who you marry.
Yeah.
You know, and it get entwined with that. So in my world, I find that it really picks up, like I said, when I first started practicing, it didn't. I think it's also access to the courts.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it used to be, I mean, if you had an emergency, you got in back in the day, you know, 3 decades ago.
Yeah.
Emergency now, you don't.
Yeah. Well, and when I really saw an uptick at the end of the year, it was interesting. It was around 2019. And that was when the alimony law changed, and alimony was no longer, because, you know, the next year it wasn't going to be taxable or tax deductible. I was so jam packed because people were trying, because it was, you had to at least have your, you know, an agreement. Maybe not, it wasn't finalized, but you had to have it. And I remember I was in a law firm on a Saturday with the attorneys, and we were trying, like, they were like, we need to get this done, saying to the clients, going, you want this done for the whole taxable, tax deductible. And that seemed to sort of just, it's been that way for the past number of years. It's so again, when I saw January is divorce month, I'm going, that's interesting. Because again, as a mediator, it's different.
I think it's also, you know, resolutions.
Yep.
You know, what do you want to do in your new year? You know, if you're not happy, you want to change things. And,
do you think 2020 had something to do with that? Because, you know, that's sort of just made everyone really appreciate life, sort of slow down, sort of gained different perspectives, and maybe resolutions maybe have become more like, all right, you know what? I just want to be happy. And so they're making their choices. Yeah.
Okay, so no, COVID messed up everything.
Correct. No. It messed it up, but it also
messed up.
But it also changed perspectives.
Students, I really can't wait to read some brilliant psychologists that will figure out to study this.
Yep.
I mean, my daughter was a senior in high school, no prom, no high school speech, nothing, you know, you know, didn't go to the school. She got in at, you know, UCLA, didn't go, you know, because there was nobody there. You know, I mean, it just was like, boom, 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 boom.
My daughter got married in 2020, and we were limited to 50 people, you know, and like family couldn't even travel because it was on lockdown.
So,
and it was either the month before or the month after she graduated from college. So she had a virtual graduation. We were able to have a limited gathering. But yeah, I mean, it threw everyone for a tizzy, but it also slowed everything down. I think it slowed because one of the things that I saw, you know, when we were on lockdown and we were doing virtual mediations, I would go out on long walks. And when I talk long walks, 5 to 10 miles a day. And I saw families bike riding. I saw people in front yards throwing balls. Yeah. And I think it sort of gave it gave people a different perspective. But I think that perspective on life going, I want to be happy. You know, I think that resolution, like you're saying, sort of like really picked up going, you know, it's New Year's resolution. Let's get this thing started or get this thing done. Let's start brand new.
Matthew, I can't even tell you how crazy my life was during COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like literally we were doing, what's it called? You do like a whole design on a computer of like who could be where at what time at the house.
you're doing scheduling like that.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, it was like
scheduling for what did they call that? 6 feet apart, social distancing.
Yeah, it was nuts.
It's like a social distancing calendar.
I'm like, okay. So we're doing this in a married life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it was rough. And so I think now, but I felt this my whole career, that January is definitely a breathe. I'm starting differently, doing something different. And I'm not a promoter. Anybody comes to me and says, should I get a divorce, not get a divorce? I don't answer that question.
Right. Yeah, that is an individual that, you know, you've got to reflect
100%.
And see what it is.
You decide, and then I'll take you there.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, so here's my follow-up question then. So, and then this goes right into what you're saying about someone goes, hey, look, you know, should I not? So what challenges, you know, so if January is typically, you know, a divorce month, and that seems to be a trend and, you know, for attorneys, what challenges are you finding that spouses are facing then during this sort of rush, I guess, or, you know, yeah.
New beginnings.
Okay.
Where's my career? Am I secure enough to do this?
Okay.
How are my kids at this stage of life? Is this a good stage or not a good stage to be doing this? Just where am I going to live?
That's a big one right now because of the homes and rents and the cost of so much of it is where am I going to land? How am I going to pay rent? You know, even how do I keep the home refinance and now I can't even afford it because the rates are much higher. And I, you know, those are the things I hear.
Well, it's funny too, you know, where like your kids graduate, you think you should move, right? Not necessarily. You want them to have a home to come back to.
It's a good point.
And so it's like, I thought for sure our kids were going to move and I would be ready to move, you know,
downsize.
And they get a bludgeon. And now I'm like, wait, I want them to be able to come home.
Right.
You know, so rethinking that. And when your kid goes to college, it doesn't mean they just go away. There are still issues.
They're always your kids. All right. Yeah. So let me ask you about another trend. Where does Florida fall nationally when we talk about divorce rates?
That's interesting because I'm surprised how high it is here.
I just Googled it. This is interesting. And? We're number six. That's not high at all. I mean, granted, we're in the top 10. We're not even in the top five. You know who number one is? Strangely enough, I would have thought, okay, if it's not...
I would guess California.
I would guess California or New York.
And?
It's Nevada.
What?
Yeah, like, I have no... All right,
what?
Okay.
It's so random.
Okay, yeah, but number two is the most shocking. It's Oklahoma. I know. And then, okay, number three, I'm looking at the list going, wait a second. Number three is Wyoming? Then Alabama, then Arkansas, and then Florida.
So when I was growing up in Lincoln, Nebraska, Good Cornhusker, I did not know anybody divorced. Little nobody. And it wasn't until I went to college that I met people with divorced parents. Isn't that funny? I mean, that's not that long ago. I mean, right. Well, now that I'm about to say the year, it is that long ago. 1969 was when I was born. But divorces didn't happen. And now, it's like, you know, my friends, my neighbors, my family, you know, it's happening. I would have thought Florida would be higher.
I mean, the top 10.
Although, take an intellectual moment, you know, Florida, you come down here and you retire.
Well, but there's a lot of people, I do a lot of divorces of people that the kids, you were mentioning, the kids have grown up, they've now gone to college, and they look at each other going, we have nothing in common, we grew apart, didn't grow together, and getting divorced, a lot of them. I'm doing a lot in their 60s, 70s, 80s. And a lot of it, Rebecca, I'm going...
That's just sad.
Yeah, well, and a lot of it, I'm going, you don't, like, and they're both on Social Security, I'm going, you don't have enough money to get divorced, because just like you were saying, one of the concerns is where am I going to live? There's not enough money to go. I actually had a divorce a number of years ago. They were in their 80s, and we actually had the conversation when we had their financial affidavits. Said, you guys can't afford to get divorced. There's not enough money to go around, and so they ended up abating it. They said, okay, never mind. We're going to cancel it. One of the first, I don't know, what do they call it? I think there's a term for the older people getting divorced. But when I was contracting in the courthouse, I actually had a guy, they were in their 80s. And I asked the guy, I said, so, you know, you guys have been together since? He said, grade school. And I said to him, I said, look, with all due respect, but till death do us part is not that far away. Like, I said that to him, Rebecca. I said, but why? Like, I'm a young mediator at that time. And I'm just, like, curious. And I'm like, why? And the husband and the wife both looked at each other. And it was like they said at the same time, it was like in stereo. You know what they said? We just want to die happy. And I thought that was sad.
That's interesting. So I have two stories to dovetail on that.
Okay.
So one was, I met this very, very nice man, a client of mine. And he's like, I'm going to be generous. I'm just going to be so generous. You know, I'm giving her half of everything. And I'm giggling, thinking, okay. That's what she's entitled to. You know, but he was just like, he felt very proud of himself that he was going to give her half because she was a stay-at-home, et cetera. And I'm like, okay, that's what you're going to do.
Thank you for playing.
Thank you for playing. And then a second one, this is crazy, Matthew. So the second one, I have this client, I think she's paranoid. She's like, we were going to stay at a hotel the night before the mediation. We're going to do this and that. We're going to be in secret cars. And I'm like, this is too much. And she said, I want you to do a body scan of him when he comes in. We're talking literally like 85.
Okay.
And I did it. You know, if your client says do that, you do it. He came in and he was packing. He had a gun. And I was just like, what? What in the, what? You know, so you gotta be very forward thinking and open minded about what could happen with people with marriages. Because it is very intense.
Yeah.
Love's intense. The breakups are intense. You gotta be in tune.
Yeah, yeah. Everything is just amplified.
That's the word.
Yeah, everything's amplified, which is why, and you had mentioned, like, in the past, you know, emergency. Like, they would, you know, used to file emergency motions for emergency hearings and stuff. And to the court, they have a completely different idea of what an emergency should be. But to a party going through it, everything is so amplified, everything correct. Is an emergency.
I think what we have to tell your listeners and viewers is there's always hope. Oh, and yeah. There's always ambition, and there's always things you can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I see a lot of weird stuff, and we look through the factors, and we look through 50-50, and we look through divorce rates, but anything's possible.
Yeah.
Whether you want to hold on to your marriage, you want a divorce, you want to, you know, walk or run.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah.
So that's where I leave you, Matthew, you know, is hold on to your kids, hold on to your dreams, and run.
Yeah, that's good. Occasionally, Sydney and I will be releasing Q&A bonus episodes where we will answer your questions and give you a personal shout out.
If you have a comment or question regarding anything that we discuss, email us at info@ichatmediation.com. That's info@ichatmediation.com. And stay tuned to hear your shout out and have your question answered here on the show.
For more information about my services or to schedule your mediation with me using my iChat Mediation virtual platform built by Cisco Communications, visit me online at imediateinc.com. Call me at 561-262-9121, toll free at 877-822-1479, or email me at mbrickman@ichatmediation.com.